If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. Our scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke chapter 2. We're reading verses 22 to 35. Luke chapter 2, reading verses 22 to 35. And hear now the word of God. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. And he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. I don't know if all of us can go back in time to when we were children. You know, normally it doesn't take that much. We can just think back and remember those days wherever they were. It may have been in another state. It could have been in another circumstance. It could have been whatever. But to think back to those times when we were 3 and 4 and 5 years old, just little children. And we can remember the magic that was Christmas. We can remember the joy of thinking that at this appointed day, something special was going to happen. And all the things that added to it, bringing in and decorating a Christmas tree and having gifts that were wrapped many times under the Christmas tree. Sometimes, as was tradition, you didn't even put the gifts under the tree until Christmas Eve. But just the anticipation, the looking forward to that was so great. As they drew near to the day when it was actually going to be Christmas, children couldn't even sleep at night. They were so excited. You know, this is how God's people felt as they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. I know it's not an accurate description, but over the generations, over the many years, as people would hear what the prophets had to say, as they read scripture from the Old Testament, they knew that a day was coming when God would send his Messiah to come and to save his people, to redeem his people. And the darker things became, the more troubled times became, the more they longed for that day when the Messiah would come and set everything right. You see, Israel went through a number of different cycles, what's called the cycles of Israel. And that cycle involved several different steps. One of them was they received God's blessing. They were blessed by the Lord, and they enjoyed that blessing. And then over time, they kind of fell away. And rather than honoring God, they began to rebel against God. And so in their rebellion, God would put them into captivity. And then while they were in captivity, in their hearts, they would cry out and they would long for God's redemption from all this. And then God in his mercy would bring deliverance. Now that's a cycle. And there were seven times in the life of Israel that they would go through this. During all this period of time, God would give them prophets, and these prophets would remind them of the goodness of God. You know, especially if you read the minor prophets in the Old Testament, you could see over and over again that God would say, this is what I'm going to have to do to you. You've rebelled against me. You've worshiped other gods. You've followed after the heathen of other lands. And because of that, this is what I'm going to have to do to you. But then there was always the other side, the fatherly side, that would say, but if you'll only repent, if you'll only come back to me, if you'll only turn from your wicked ways, then I'll heal you and I'll love you and I will bless you. Seven different times in the life of Israel, probably more than that, but seven pronounced times that Israel went through this. You know, we've gone through very similar things here in this country. We've seen times of great refreshing where people cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard and the Lord healed. One such time was back in the 1700s, something that we call the Great Awakening under George Whitefield, John Wesley, and some of the others of that time period. And God let his spirit flow among the nations, and people were struck in the heart about the goodness of God, and they turned from wickedness in this country and they praised him. About 100 years later, it had gone full circle. And now people were once again crying out to the Lord, and God again sent a great revival. It was called the Great American Revival in the 1800s. And the same thing happened. A spirit of God moved across this nation, and people once again cried out to the living God, called upon him, and God in his mercy blessed this nation. This was the beginning of great prosperity in the United States. There have been other times, World War II, World War I, World War II, the different world wars, where people realized, without the help of the Lord, we can't survive. We can't win. And they would cry out to God, and God blessed them and gave them great mercy, gave them victory. Over time, the joy of that seems to fade and people forget, and they once again turn away from God. We can see what God did as far as during the time of Jesus, when God throughout the Old Testament said, I'm going to send you one, a different one, who will put all these things together, and he will bring you my joy. He will bring you my salvation. And it was something that all Jews looked forward to, all converts looked forward to, and that is the coming of this Messiah. And the truth is, as that time drew near, that there was this increased anticipation among the Jews. Now we know from Malachi to the birth of Jesus, there's a 400-year period in there. It's called the intertestamentary period. And during that period of time, there were no prophets, 400 years. And then all of a sudden, God stirred the heart, chose John the Baptist to be the forerunner, to go out and proclaim, the time is now. But prior to that, God was already touching the hearts of individuals. He began quickening the hearts of his people. And there were two that are mentioned in Scripture, very definitely touched by God's Spirit to look forward to the coming of this Messiah, of this chosen one. And Luke mentions them by name. The first one he speaks about is Simeon, just an individual, Simeon. And then the other was the prophetess Anna. Now, we learn about Simeon in the text that we read this morning. We're going to look at him more closely. But Anna, we read about in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. It gives us a little indication of who she was. It says that she was a prophetess, that she was a widow. She'd lost her husband. She was 84 years old. And the Bible tells us that she spent her time in the temple, that she was praying and worshiping the Lord. And so she was calling on God, calling on the Lord for redemption. We know the history, what was taking place right then as far as the Romans, how the Romans had come in, how they had captivated the Jews, captured them basically. The Jews were no longer in control of their own lives. And the Romans were hard taskmasters, and just like those taskmasters in Egypt, the Jewish people were crying out to God for the coming of the Messiah. And there were those that were giving themselves over to praying and asking for the Lord's help in these areas. And we read here that in both of these cases, God had revealed to them that the Messiah was coming, that the time was near. And they were waiting for him to come. I'm going to look this morning a little bit more at this individual, Simeon. Now, again, these are issues. These are things that really are not spoken of a lot. You know, he wasn't a major character. This is the only mention of him in all of Scripture, and yet he's significant. You know, we know the story behind this. Jesus was taken to the temple for the rituals that had to be performed for him. First, the circumcision on the eighth day, but then a period of 33 days had to pass. And after the end of that 33 days, they had to go back to the temple because Mary had to go through the rite of purification. They had to make certain sacrifices. And we read about that as far as what had to be sacrificed in order to cleanse her. This is all found in Leviticus chapter 12. Verses 1 to 4, and then also in verse 8, where it talks about this is what they had to do in order to fulfill the law. And so they were doing that. And while they went into the temple, all of a sudden this individual, Simeon, comes up to them. And he's described as a man who was righteous, that he was devout, that he was a seeker of God. And the Bible says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that's a big word, the consolation. It means literally quiet in the land. In other words, Israel was in such turmoil that they wanted the Messiah to bring peace, to quiet the land. That was the consolation, that they would be consoled, but also that the land would be consoled through this. He was a seeker of God. And the Bible says that he led a life of prayer and devotion, waiting on the Lord. He was waiting for the Lord to come. It also says about him that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I know that sometimes we think in terms of the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit has always, as the third person of the Trinity, has always been there, moving the prophets, moving the individuals, dealing with them, their hearts, bringing them into conformity with the Lord. And so this is the way it was with Simeon. And it says that Simeon went into the temple in the Spirit, which means that he was seeking God during that time, seeking the Lord. And he tells us that he had been promised by God that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Verse 26 in the passage that we read this morning says this, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ," which is to say, the Messiah. And so he knew he was getting older, getting along in years. His time was short. So it just made him more hungry to see this Messiah that was coming, like the child looking forward to Christmas Day. The anticipation was so great. An interesting thing is that when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple, and that's just 33 days after his birth, when they brought this little infant, this little baby, into the temple, and Simeon saw Jesus, the first thing he did was to run over and grab the Christ child and hold the child in his arms. You know, you wonder, what did he see? What was he seeing in this little baby? What did he see? You know, again, at Christmas time, we sing hymns that are songs, spiritual songs that are so encouraging. And one of those that has become a real favorite is Mary, Did You Know? And the whole question asking, well, Mary, did you know that when you gave birth to this little child, that what he was going to be, who he was going to be? When Simeon saw this little baby, what did he see? Well, the first thing that we know from Scripture, it says that he saw God's salvation. He saw salvation. Now, this is verses 30 and 32 of our text this morning. 30 and 32 says this, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." I have seen your salvation. See, he saw something different in Jesus. Something, I mean, I'm sure that they were bringing babies all the time into the temple for this rite of purification. When he saw Jesus, something happened. Something was different about Jesus. Kind of reminds me of when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples going over the Sea of Galilee and the great storm came up and Jesus was asleep. And they came over and they woke him up and they said, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "Why do you have so little faith?" And he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the waves and everything was completely calm. But the response was, "What manner of man is this? Who is this that's in the boat with us, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" See, I think it was that same sense of awe that Simeon was experiencing when he saw the face of the Lord in this little baby. This little baby. What manner of child is this? This is the Messiah. When the angel came to Mary and said to Mary in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, "And you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I know I've shared this before, but it's especially relevant right here. And that is that word for salvation in Scripture, there are two different Greek words that are translated salvation. And one is the word soterion, and that's a technical word that basically means to the technical aspects of saving us from sin. There's another word translated salvation, and that's the word sozo. And that word sozo means he'll put the broken pieces back together again. That's what Simeon was saying when he said he saw the salvation of Jesus. He saw the fact that this is the Messiah of God who's going to take the broken hearts, he's going to take the broken bodies, he's going to take the broken dreams of Israel, and he's going to put them back, he's going to mend them and put them back together again. "You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So he saw salvation in this child. Now he also saw fulfilled prophecy. He saw the fact that this is the one that's been promised from the very beginning. In fact, this is the hope of the ages. The one that all of Israel has hoped for, has longed for from the very beginning. This is the child. This is it. This is the one. See, there were other nations that knew that Israel was longing for this Messiah. In fact, that's one of the things that motivated the wise men to leave where they were and travel looking not just for the star. They were letting the star guide them, but they were looking for the Messiah, for the King of the Jews who would be born. Simeon knew that this baby was the fulfillment of that quest, the hope of the ages, the longing of the Jewish nation for their Savior. You know, he also In the face of this baby, he saw the light for the Gentiles, not just the Jews. You know, the Jews really believed that they were God's chosen people, and as a result, that the nations were the heathens. They were outside of God's blessing. But Simeon made this statement. This is in the passage that we read. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 32. And he said this, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The Gentiles, the Hebrew word for Gentiles is goyim. And the goyim means everybody that's outside of the covenant of God. And what Simeon saw was, this is the one that will bring light to their darkness, that will bring them a joy. I see, this is what Isaiah said in a passage that we're all familiar with. He said, "For those who walked in darkness saw a great light." This is in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. The people that walked in darkness, the goyim, the heathen, they saw a great light. Jesus was going to bring light to the nations. And again, it's one of the great joys of Christmas. We have the music. We also have Christmas lights. Great Christmas lights. And we're starting to see them at night. You know, when we drive around at night, you're starting to see Christmas lights that people have put up. Sometimes look through the window, you can see a Christmas tree already up there. In fact, I think it was right after Halloween that people started putting up Christmas lights and Christmas trees. Saw them early this year. I think people are kind of in a hurry to get there. Let's hurry up and get Christmas here as soon as we can. But the light is very important. There's a movie that is shown every year, and you can see it on YouTube for free. It was made in 1945, and it's called The Star in the Night. The Star in the Night. And it's about a situation where these cowboys are out on the plains, and way in the distance, they see this giant star. And so they start going toward the star, and, you know, because it was cold, and they didn't even know why they were doing it, but they went there. And there's a whole story wrapped around it that's so beautifully portrayed. Again, it was made in 1945, and the message of Christmas is really there. It's called A Star in the Night. I would just try to encourage you, if you're looking for something great to watch, A Star in the Light, in the Night. So Simeon saw that Jesus was going to be the familiar, or rather be the fulfillment of this light to the Gentiles. And he also said it was for the glory of Israel. The fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, the fulfillment of the covenant promise to Abraham. You know, Israel was blessed twice through the birth of the Messiah. That first of all, because they were chosen, God chose them as his nation. But then secondly, because they had received the Messiah, the promised one. But then he goes on to say that with this, there's also a curse and a blessing, a curse with the blessing. He saw that Jesus would bring peace. He would bring harmony to many, but he would also bring division. And he shared this with Joseph and with Mary. And he said this, he said in verse 34, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And he was saying that this is a difficult time, almost going all the way back to when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, and the Lord God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, "A day will come when this serpent will strike you on the heel, but you will crush his head." And that is, you will crush his head. You will put an end to the work of Satan, but it'll come at a cost. And that cost will be the death of the Messiah for our sin. as believers, Paul spoke about this division, the sharing of this division. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Paul makes this statement. And at first reading, it's difficult to understand, but he says this, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance of life to life." In other words, the Messiah would bring the division, that those who trusted in him and believed in him, to them, they would enjoy God's benefit. To those who rejected, they would pay a terrible price. Isaiah said that, Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. And he talked about the fact that if you consent and obey, you'll eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. And thus the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you know, Jesus still causes that division among people today. When you tell people that you follow Jesus Christ, that you're willing to give your life to him, there's something in the world that rises up and wants to destroy you. Even the name of Jesus. For years now, we've had to tolerate people that said, you can't say Merry Christmas anymore. Now you have to say season's greetings or happy holidays. I don't know if any of you have seen this, but for years, the Target stores refused to allow any reference to Christmas. It was always holidays. Do you know something? This year, they're putting great big signs up, Merry Christmas, in all their stores. Merry Christmas. I just see that as God's hand at work. But the truth is, you know, we as a nation have been walking in darkness for years. We've had our own cycles, times when we had times of refreshing and people would cry out to the Lord and there would be blessing. We've experienced that just recently with these revivals going on college campuses, where we see that people are, young students are giving their hearts and their lives to Jesus in one place, 7,000 baptisms in 1 week. People making a commitment to follow Jesus Christ in their life. And our hearts rejoice over that at the same time. Those that are fighting against it with every fiber in their body. We've had our own cycles here in America. In our darkest hours, we've cried out to God. We've asked God to help us and to strengthen us. And always in our minds, we can remember that day, 2 days after 9/11, when the entire Congress were out on the steps of the White House praying, calling out to God for mercy. And the people in America were crying out to God for mercy. All of a sudden, people began attending churches again, and people were excited about the fact that God had saved us from this horror. And it lasted for a month or two. And then everything went back to status quo. God's blessed us with these times. We feel like that God has helped us dodge bullet after bullet here in this country, because this nation belongs to him. And we can rejoice in victories, but they're temporary. They're not long-term. There's an old expression that goes, rust never sleeps. Evil never sleeps. It just keeps taking other forms. It keeps morphing into other things. And the ultimate purpose is to bring us down and to destroy us. That's because of our enemy, of who he is, and what he wants to do to God's people, to tear us down. And if anything, right now, we may have a little reprieve, a little breathing room, but it's not ended. It'll start again right away. We're going to see things happen between now and January the 20th that will shock and surprise. We need to stay on our knees. We need to remember that God in his mercy has given us a chance as his people to cry out to him and to call on his name, not just for temporary salvation, but for eternal commitment to him. We've been blessed with a Messiah, and it's the same Messiah that the Jews welcomed. It's the same Messiah that Simeon saw on that day in the temple. It's Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He is our only Messiah. He is the only one that we can trust thoroughly. And we thank the Lord for those who are standing for truth, those who are putting their lives on the line to stand up and say, this is truth, this is what's right, this is the way we must go. Thank the Lord for them. But they're not our Messiah. If we could only see what Simeon saw when he looked in the face of Jesus, even though he was a little baby, he saw salvation. I believe that if we were able to do that, we would know what Christmas is all about. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you and praise you for your great gift of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as these days progress and as we get caught up in all the activities and all the celebrations of Christmas, that, Lord, we wouldn't forget the reason for Christmas, the purpose, that we, by your Spirit, might see in the face of Jesus what Simeon saw. We thank you and praise you for this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Now, if you would stand and turn to your hymnal in number 216, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We will sing the first verse now and the last verse after the benediction.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.